continue on in 1 Peter. So if you'd find your place there in 1 Peter chapter 4, I didn't give a story this morning. So as you find your place there in 1 Peter chapter 4, I did hear the story about this little girl that was running late for Sunday school. And so she was going down, just lived a block or so from the church. She was on the way on the sidewalk, and she was praying as she was going, "Dear Lord, help me not to be late. Lord, dear Lord, help me not to be late. Help me not to be late." And she was rushing along there, and as she was rushing along, praying that again and again and again, she fell and skinned her knee and got her dress a little bit dirty and was upset, but she got up and brushed herself off and thought she'd be all right. And then she started quickly on her way, and then she changed her prayer a little bit. She said, "Dear Lord, please help me not to be late. Dear Lord, please help me not to be late, but please don't push me again." So, specific prayers for specific instances, I guess. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 7, "But the end of all things is at hand." We're going to have another installment here about how to behave in suffering. If you remember all the way back to the beginning of this study, as we started 1 Peter, is talking to people who are living in an increasingly hostile world to their faith. And so this is equipping these Christians to live out their faith in that world that doesn't like how they're living. So it's at hand. "Be ye therefore," because of the end of all things being at hand, "be sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So as we preach for just a little while, we get this installment of how to live or how to behave in suffering, and it continues on here. And it says there at the end, in verse number 7, "The end of all things is at hand." And so we're going to look at this and realizing that as you are suffering, and you're suffering now, and those folks were suffering then, and you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm pretty comfortable." You and I are comfortable as far as what God gives us, but we also understand that it's not always a complementary world that we live out our faith in. And so we understand that the end of these things, the Bible says, is at hand. And so however we're going to live, when it's over, we need to be living that way now. So I read of Evangeline Booth again this week, and that is the daughter of William Booth, who's the founder of the Salvation Army. And toward the end of her life, as she had served in the ministry that her father started, at the end of her life, a reporter asked if she had any regrets as she looked back. And she said, "Yes, I have one. I wish that I had another life to give for the service of the Lord." And she died about 1950, maybe 51, somewhere right then. And you understand, without doing much study, that the end is closer than it was when she was ministering in her day, in that ministry. And so we understand that truly the end of all things is at hand. And so I want you to see, first of all, the time is announced in verse number 7. The time is announced because God says there's some things coming, and this is how you're supposed to be living in suffering. But the reason we live this way, one important reason, is because the end is near. It's coming. And so we understand that as we get closer to that time, we've had more funerals than I care to have here at our church. And whether we go through the avenue of death or whether we go through the rapture when Jesus comes to get us, we understand that we don't have a whole lot more time left to labor on this earth. But I know what human nature is, because I am one. We lived in a house on Montague Avenue in Rockvale, which is outside of Murfreesboro. We lived there from 2006, when our third child was not very old. We moved in there, and we lived there until 2014, when we moved to pastor a church. And there was a job that I'd done it up till that point, but I hadn't finished all the job. We had an unfinished upstairs. It was expandable, and you could have finished, but we did not. And so it had some steps that went up there, and while we were getting in, everything was rushed in 2006. We were putting flooring down, my father-in-law and I, and then I was laying carpet in the rooms, and I was getting everything ready. Well, I only went up the steps until where you couldn't see it anymore from the living room. That meant the other steps that just went up to an unfinished attic, those steps weren't covered with carpet. I had the padding, had the carpet, had all the things I needed, but I didn't get it. Do you know when I finished those? About the time we were ready to list that house for sale. I figured if somebody else was going to come look at it, they'd want all the steps covered, not just the ones you could see from the living room. And so Amy had she kind of got a little bit sad about that. She said, yeah, for all these years we've lived here and I haven't had that done, and now somebody else is going to get to enjoy it all the way finished. But that's the way we are when time's running out, when it's getting close to the end. We say, well, what else can I do? Well, that's the sentiment that God gives here. The end of these things is near, and so we want to finish the way that we ought to. About the time you get a project like you want it usually, you head on out of there. And so the Bible says over in Ephesians, and knowing that the time, or in Romans rather, knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And so my friend, of course, it's easy to figure out if you're here and you used to be there, then you're closer to either the time you'll go through death or you go through the rapture. We understand that our time is short. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, redeeming the time for the days, or because, rather, the days are evil. We've got a job to do, my friend, and we've got a way to live and honor God. You say, Pastor, how am I supposed to be a good testimony for God? I can tell you one way, and it's given right here in this passage. It is, be ye sober, and watch unto prayer as this world gets increasingly worse for you. The time is announced. George W. Truett was a preacher from yesteryear. He pastored for 47 years, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, now pastored by Robert Jeffress. And so he pastored that church for a long time, but before that, he was from North Carolina, and his family had moved to Texas. He was there ministering as a lay person. He was preaching, and after this Saturday night meeting, he preached to the congregation there at the White Rite Baptist Church in Texas. And an old deacon, after he got done, took the floor and asked for a time to tell or to speak to the church family. And he said about George W. Truett, who Truett Cathy was named after because of their confidence in him. But he said after he took the floor, he called the church and the council together to ordain Truett to the ministry there. And Truett asked for more time to be given. He said, well, don't do it right now. He said, well, couldn't we just put this off and couldn't we just delay it a little bit? They all refused, and they ordained him from that church right there on the spot. Truett later, as he gave a little reference to that time, he says, I was thrown into the stream and I just had to swim. And he swam for a long time and powerfully preached the Word of God. I'm saying this evening that sometimes we do want a little bit more time to be given. Sometimes we would like for just to do a little bit of living. Sometimes young people say, well, I'd like to do this, this, and this, and then I'll get serious about serving the Lord. Sometimes we as adults and we'll say, well, if only I could get this taken care of and that taken care of, then I'd really dedicate myself to the Lord. My friend, I don't want to be blunt with you, but that's the best way to do it. You may not have that time that you think you do. If there's something that you think you ought to, or not think, if there's something you're led of the Lord to do, we need to get busy doing it. And so we see the time is announced in verse number 7. But I want you to look down to verse 8 and 9. The command is given after that time is announced. He says in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity. Have passionate love one toward another. And have that feeling of benevolent attitude among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. A passage or a reference back to the Old Testament. And when you see that, you understand from Proverbs, that doesn't mean that it covers sin and doesn't deal with it. But what it does mean is when you look through the eyes of love, it covers a lot of those rough places. But then it goes on to say in verse number 9, use hospitality. Use hospitality one to another. And so since the command is that time is being short and the time is announced, the end of all things at his hand, he says, he gives this command to use hospitality, to use charity in the way that we behave one toward another. This idea of hospitality is very interesting. We still use it today, of course. We'll hopefully be hospitable. I think our church is extremely friendly and hospitable as we bring people in and folks come to visit. And I long for our church to even be more hospitable, that we do more than just greet people here in the church and at the door. Instead, we also say, hey, what are you doing next Sunday for lunch? Could we get together and have that Christian fellowship? Not just because it's advantageous for you to do in your life, but because it's a biblical thing. We're supposed to breaking of bread and fellowship one with another. And so I challenge all of us to do more of that. But in the days that this was first read, the hospitality idea would have been a little different than now, because in those days there were a lot fewer inns and hotels and things, very few as a matter of fact, and there was a far less amount of money among the Christian folks there. And so when folks would travel, it was very, very common for you to keep somebody in your house. You were hospitable toward them. Now, sometimes when we almost always, when pastors come, we either keep them over here at the ministry house or we'll put them up at a hotel. We don't normally keep them in people's houses, although they would love it. You would love it as well, I know. But sometimes they're so engaged in what they're studying, it's just easier to give them a place where they can be alone. But I think about our ministry house over here. We've kept so many people. We were at first concerned, thinking we were going to do other ministries over there, and we do some, but we were doing that because we didn't know how much it would keep busy. Well, Miss Christie keeps it clean, keeps it ready, keeps it going for the next missionary. And we've had so many in there since we've opened it. It's been amazing. But you would love it if you could be there when some of the missionaries or missionaries' wives talk to Amy and I, and they say, "Well, Amy, it's just," one preacher's wife said, "Amy, it's just so relaxing to be there." Another said, "It just helped us relax and break away from everything and just regroup." And again, those common themes. And I'm just sharing that with you because of the blessing that the church is to different people. But we also want to do what Scripture says here: use hospitality one to another without grudging. How many of you have ever nullified any blessings you were going to get because you grumbled about what you thought you was a good thing to do? "Well, I did it, but I didn't want to." Yeah. And I don't think that when we get to heaven, we'll probably not bring those up to the Lord. "Well, Lord, you know what I did," because I think He's going to say, "Yeah, but you know what you said after you did what you did, right? You did right, but then you did wrong. So what you did wrong kind of took away from what you did right." I'm not exactly sure how that works, but He tells us how to do it, and that's without grudging. There's a lot of us that do what you're supposed to do, but you grumble all the way while doing it without murmuring, without grudging. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, can I just challenge you before I leave this point and go into the last one? It says in Hebrews chapter 13, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, I think that in the day which we live, because there's so much wickedness, you have to be very careful how you help people. I'm talking about folks not in the church, but folks out there. It used to be that you could help strangers all the time and maybe give them rides and do these different things, and you had to be very wise about that. But let me just say it like this: when the Lord lays something on your heart, please don't pull back from what God does. Because as Scripture says, we very well could be helping somebody the Lord put in our path to just let us be a blessing, but get blessed about it, by it as well. But we see here this command is given. So you're looking at verse 8, verse 9. So that's that fervent charity. Then in verse number 9, that hospitality. But now we're going to look the path that gets explained, if I follow my outline here. But really the path explained in verse 10 and 11, in these two verses, we're going to be told how to do what we are told to do, what to do in verse 8 and 9, and then how to do it in verse 10 and 11. So we're going to tell you how it's explained. In verse number 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Like the songwriter said, "Not have I gotten, but what I received." The work that was done in me, nobody can look and say, "Man, look at how good he's doing." There's nothing in me and there's nothing in you. There's nothing in any of us except what the Lord has given to us. "Every good, every perfect gift cometh from above." And so we see that as every man hath received the gift, so let him minister. So whether that's the gift of the Spirit, whether that's one of the spiritual gifts, whether that's the gift of salvation, whether that's just a talent or a ability that God has given you, as every man has received that, even so minister the same one to another. I don't want you to raise your hand on this, but some of you know who you are. You have a wonderful mind that you're able to think through things. And you're able to head off potential problems. You don't have to raise your hand, because then we'll force you to be not humble, because you say, "Oh, that's me. I know it. You're calling my name." But you know who you are. You know that God's given you gifts, and some of you are great in business, and you're able to navigate through things. Everybody has at least one spiritual gift. God didn't leave anybody out. But with those things, God tells us to minister as you've received it. So minister the same one to another. So whatever you're good at, Can I challenge you to get using it for the Lord's glory? If God uses it in your life and you're blessed financially, then wonderful. Go be blessed. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This is not the place where anybody will make anyone feel well or feel guilty for doing well in life, because all the things that God gives you, He gives you as long as you hold them and say, Lord, they're all yours. Do with it what you will. Then you've got no problem biblically. But with that mind and with that ability and with those traits and those talents and those gifts that you have, follow what Scripture says in verse number 10, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards. Because those of you who have a great mind and you can figure things out, maybe you've got the gift of administration, you're able to organize something and go forward with it. Well, then use it as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Use it for something that's bigger than you are. So, underneath that, let me tell you this, 2 points underneath that third point. Number one, or letter A, if I'm follow my outline, it doesn't matter on yours, or how you, if you want to write it down, you can. We only give what we've been given. Because with that mind that God's given you, I just said God gave it to you. With that ability, people showed us wonderful things today. This choir did such a phenomenal job, but people on the organ, people on these instruments right here on this pew, the people on the piano, the piano bench gets changed out multiple times throughout the service because one person will take a part, and then the next one will take a part, and then the next will take a part, and it's a wonderful thing to see all of that, but all of that talents, and then people were using for the glory of God everything that got done was a gift that God gave them. You say, how do you know? Maybe it's just a lot of hard work. Well, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but there are some people in this room, it doesn't matter how much hard work you do, you still couldn't do what they did. It's just not in us. It's just the way it is. And so we understand that we can only give what we've been given. I met Larry Brown when I was sitting at the Sword of the Lord conference. I say I met him. Amy and I were sitting back there in one of the sections, and he walked the backs of the pews in this sermon he preached on Go Forward. He's a lively preacher, and so he walked from pew back to pew back to pew back to pew back all the way to the back section, and he went right between Amy and I. Hello. And that was my first introduction to him. And I loved him. I was enamored with his preaching, and I thought he was the one, and I still do. I think he's a great preacher. But for some time, I tried to imitate that. And I wanted to preach like that because it so moved me. I thought, well, if it moved me, it'll move other people. If he can do it, I can do it. And then eventually, I found out that God makes every one of us a little bit different. And that what does work for him, and it works well because that's the way God gifted him and talented, gave him talents, and that's his personality type, but that's also just his demeanor and all of those things. And it works well for him, but what does work well for him would be fake and phony with me. So understand that we only can give what we've been given, the gift, as every man hath received the gift. But then number two, or B underneath there, whatever gifts you've got, be they many or few, all of our ministry is for God's glory. Verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, that means just serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. We just mentioned that. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So I want to bring it very, very pointed to you tonight and ask you this. What are you currently doing to bring glory to God? You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach. You don't have to have a position. There's not enough positions in this church for everybody to have one, so we certainly can't fulfill your need. If the need is to have a title, we can't give enough of those away. If we gave everybody a title, they would be useless because they would be so random and so plentiful that nothing would mean anything. Everybody can't be the assistant pastor or the what, this, that, or the other. So it can't be that you're ministering just because you have a certain title. But every one of us have a way to minister. That means there's people this week that I can be a blessing to. And so what am I and what are you currently doing to bring glory to God? How is your life going? Are you finding ways? Amy's sister one time said that she was on an endeavor to try to cheer up every grouchy clerk that she came to when she was out shopping. She does a lot of shopping. That's a pretty big ministry she has. It doesn't have to be in the walls of this church. Probably better if it's not, I guess, in many ways. But what are we doing? You say, well, nobody knows that. That might be even better. You say, well, I don't get any recognition for that. We get recognition from heaven. Amen. If we're doing all things that Jesus Christ would be glorified and to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So as someone watches the seconds tick off of a game clock, they realize that their opportunity to do something is dwindling. And what do? They're more calculated in what they do. They're more determined, but they are also more careful in moves that don't generate points or moves that potentially let the other person have points that will ruin the game for your case as well. So as they watch those seconds peel off, they intensify their dedication to their cause, and their cause is to win the game. So as we watch the last days or the last hours of the last days or the last minutes of the last hours of the last days or the last seconds possibly of the last minutes of the last hours of the last days, as we watch those, go back to verse 7 and I'll end. As we watch those last seconds peel off, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So when we come and say, but Brother John, I'm suffering. That's what this whole passage is about, suffering and how we're supposed to conduct it. But I'm suffering. I'm suffering physically. I'm suffering financially. I'm suffering physically, relationally. I'm suffering in this way or that way. I understand. I get it. But the scripture here is written to people who are suffering. And so knowing that they're suffering, it applies to us as well. Since the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober. Watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Did you ever notice that sometimes when you get down to that last little bit, you say, I don't have time to be nice. I just got to keep focused on this. That's exactly opposite of what the scripture says. Keep focused on this and pay attention to what you're doing for God's glory and His sake. But while you're doing it, don't forget to have fervent charity. Be happy as you go, and then use hospitality. Don't do it with grudging, because every man's received the gift. Even so, let him minister one to another, and to be the reason we're ministering one to another, because we're stewards. God's put some stuff in you, and He wants you to take what He's given you and steward. You don't have to steward everybody else's gift, just steward your gift. You may wish you had somebody else's, but you don't. You only have yours, so be a good steward of that. And then, if anybody speaks, if you got me, he's got to speak up. Then let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him do it as if you were speaking for the Lord. If anybody serves and ministers, let him do it as the ability that God gives. Oh, I wish I had more ability to preach. I wish I had more ability. I wish I was a better teacher. I wish I was a better minister. I wish I was a better preacher. And I do wish many of those things. But God doesn't tell me that I'm supposed to live on how I would be if He had given me more gifts and abilities. He says, let him do as the ability which God giveth. So don't come to the end of the service and tell somebody, say, well, I would do something. I'd serve God if I only had more ability. You're talking to the wrong person, because God's the one that dishes that out. So He wants you to serve with the ability that He's given and in all those things that He might be glorified. The end of our time is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Father, bless us now as our prayer. I thank You for this time to be in Your word as we got to take another section of Your book, and Lord, I pray we'd apply it to our lives. Lord, there's too many of us that waste much of our time wishing that we could preach like Larry Brown, wish that I could speak like David Gibbs, wish that I could do a lot of stuff, me, but then I'm not alone in that. Lord, all of us ought to get better at things, I suppose. But there's many aspects that we are who we are, because that's where You made us, who You made us. So Lord, help us to serve. Help us to minister. Help us to have hospitality, fervent charity, and help us live because the time has got to be short. Bless it, I pray, in Jesus' name. As the ladies begin to play, when they find a song that's for this evening, if God's speaking to your heart, I challenge you just to do some holy vows to Him tonight. If you're able to, would you stand together? It might make it a little easier for somebody to get out. We're just a church family here tonight. We're in no rush, and we're certainly not for a show. But maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe you've been one like I've been. I wish I had a better personality. I wish I had more ability in this. I wish I had this, and I wish I had the other. But sometimes I wish so much I had what I don't have that I don't do what I should with what I do have. I don't do what I should with the gifts and the calling or the talents that God has blessed me with. As they play and these are praying at the altar, I invite you to come as well. If there's something heavy on your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and the message wasn't really applicable to you necessarily because you're not even sure you're saved. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not even sure that I'm saved on my way to heaven. If that's you, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's down here in front. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure from it, not from us, but from the Bible, that you're going to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved and you need to be baptized. You've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. I challenge you to come and present yourself for that. We'll do it in a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm just going to ask them to play one more verse. So I want everybody to have an opportunity to make a vow to the Lord there where you are. Whatever God's been working on your heart today, it's been a wonderful day. This choir has blessed my soul. And the Lord has worked thoroughly on me. I bet He has on you as well. Would you make some commitments there to the Lord where you and He know what's going on before you leave? Whatever He's led in, let's be faithful to respond. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, I want to say again, choir, thank you for blessing our hearts today. It was a wonderful morning, and thank you for singing the song again tonight as well. We've got some of these Christmas invite cards back in the lobby. I challenge you to take a few of those if you don't already have some. Be handing them out, inviting folks. The gospel message is on the back, also the days that are coming yet in the month of December. And then one of the important ones that's on there is the Christmas Eve service, candlelight, 4:30. And if I would challenge you to think of somebody at work or somebody in your neighborhood that would be blessed to come. And I guarantee you, it's an easier question on that service probably than any other service is. And if you'd come and bring them rather. And time-wise, you've already heard me say it'd be 40, 45 minutes, so they'll know for their time's sake, and we'll have a great time. Well, I was listening to Brother David Gibbs. He was talking when he was here, and he was talking about how much he was blessed by the Sunday school class that he went to, and that's the one in this room, Brother Philip Talbert. God's brought him our way, and we're thankful for him. So, Brother Philip, would you mind coming to dismiss us in prayer and ask God's blessings on this church as we head out? And that'll give me time to get back to the lobby. And we thank the Lord for he and Miss Patty. And I love it as a church family, we get to depart. And used to be that we did this more than we do, that we'd ask, Lord, keep us safe until we meet again. And so would you just pray for our church family, God would keep us safe as we go throughout our week and put His blessings upon us, and then we'll return back when we get the opportunity. Thank you, brother.
Father, with all our hearts, we give thanks for what we have experienced tonight. This wonderful music, this wonderful message, all of your many blessings to us. Thank you. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, and that is something to give thanks for. Lord, bless all these people. Do give them safety as they travel home. And God bless all of the light they shine into this community this week. In Jesus' name, amen.